It sounds like the inside of a submarine.
We're talking to whales here on A Vague Idea this week.
Whoa. Boo. Boo.
One ping only.
It's Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Regolia. Each week, I subject my guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. With me as always, Shannon Page. Shannon, how are you?
Hi. Hey. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, great. And guess what, guys? We have John Perros back after a long hiatus, sabbatical. You might not be back next week, so I don't even know what to call it. This could just be a dip. But John Perros is back. Hey, John, how are you?
Thanks for that generous introduction, as always.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're glad to have you back, you know. You've been busy working. You've been a working man.
I have been.
Yeah. Taking a sip of beer. All right. And then we have special guest Mark Tebben, who...
Hello.
Yeah, you are a musician and a writer, and just a stupendous human being who I met at Write Club Denver, and it's just great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. And this is the first time I've ever been on a podcast, too, which is even more exciting.
That's huge. Welcome to our weekly experience.
Thank you.
Is it everything you thought it would be so far?
There's more than I thought it would be. like, there's more wood paneling in this room. There's more beers on the table.
I'm
happy to be here.
Yeah, great. Well, good. This week's show is going to be about mischief. That's our theme for the episode. And I've got the 10 topics. So, Mark, what we do is the very special guest gets to decide whether they would like to go first in picking from the list or if they would like John or Shannon to go first. So what do you feel like?
I think I'll jump in and go first.
Ooh, I like it.
Great. Yeah. A man of bold action.
Yes.
I'm into it.
we'll see where this leads.
It's going to lead to probably really educational places, right? That's how this usually goes.
This is an educational podcast.
Oh, yeah. We learn a lot, kind of. Also, hey, Mark, you're going to play some music for us a couple of times throughout the program, so that'll be a neat little twist. Very exciting.
I'm excited for that.
Cool. Yeah. Let's get it.
From a tiny little guitar there.
It's a wee uke.
Yeah, now I have to play. Like when you introduce the ukulele in the first act, it has to go off.
Yeah, that's later. Chekhov's so, ukulele. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. Which one of us will be?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Which one of us will be killed by the ukulele? So, Mark, pick 1 through 10.
Six.
Number six. A bold jump to six. I like it. Okay, we're gonna play Thunderdome. It's a mini game where I'm going to list a couple of people or objects, depending on the case, and you're going to have to tell us which one would win in a battle to the death in the Thunderdome.
Ooh.
So the objects in question are mischievous ones. There's the squirting flower versus the joy buzzer. So in that battle, who wins, Mark?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I'm assuming that they both have like unlimited squirting or buzzing capabilities here.
Yeah, they are inherently of themselves, so they don't need outside forces or anything. Yeah. They're hitting it.
Okay, cool. I think maybe the flower, because A, it's going to catch you off guard.
Sure.
B, there's some sort of electronic component to the joy buzzer that it could very easily short out.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
I buy that. I do like the idea that perhaps the joy buzzer just keeps walking up and trying to sniff that flower. It's like it always has the appeal of being a flower.
It's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. John, what do you think? Do you think the squirting flower or the joy buzzer wins in a battle to the death?
Well, I think technologically speaking, the buzzer never really had anything like electronic operating in it. There's no battery or any kind of like... It's a mechanical thing that operates.
It's got like a wind-up or something
like that, yeah.
Yeah, I did used to have one that was just sort of like slipped over your finger, and it had kind of like you would crank the casing, and then you would just hit the buzzer, and it basically all it does is vibrate
kind of loudly. Are you listening to this, squirting flower? Change your strategy.
Yeah. Squirting flower, it's not afraid of your wetness.
I also kind of feel like it's much harder to like avoid an outstretched hand for a handshake than it is like... You know, a flower on a lapel. Like, I don't always want to, like, lean in and, you know, smell somebody's boutonniere or whatever.
Okay, so. Okay. That's a good point. Yeah, you got a real situation of like social etiquette. Maybe if we were all from France, you would be right up in that boutonniere all the time. But we're Americans, and we barely touch each other because we hate each other because we're all competing for resources. Good
you know,
job,
we touch each other with that outstretched hand, though.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah. You know, oh, sure.
That's
and that's to
of consumerism there.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
We have to prove our mettle that way by squeezing each other until
P's
our hands
Q's.
Break. Very good. Shannon, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with the squirting flower.
Okay.
For a different reason, though.
Okay.
So the squirting flower, it's a flower, water. The buzzer is plastic or metal, man-made. Mm-hmm. And so what you're really looking at here is a battle of nature versus mankind.
Ooh,
and
okay.
I believe that in the end, nature will take mankind out and survive. Mother Nature knows how to fight, so the flower and the water will win.
Very nice. Very nice.
I think I saw like a trailer for the next disaster pick, and it is, you know, squirting flower versus, you know, the outstretched arm of consumerism.
It's a Michael Bay film.
Yes, Nicolas Cage plays the squirting flower.
Yeah. Oh, man, he's going to be amazing in that role.
Yeah.
You can really see him losing himself in that, right?
Yeah,
this time he
sweat a lot, so he's already got the water exhalation down.
And he's used to yelling about bees, but now as a flower, he can yell at bees in a positive way.
Yeah. So I recently watched Wicker Man for the first time, his version of it.
Uh-huh. Mm.
The bee scene isn't in it.
No.
Yeah, I've
so it's,
watched
it's
that
just
whole
like an outtake?
Damn movie waiting for the bees, and it turns out it's just an outtake that turned into a meme, but it's not in the movie at. I even rewound the ending to make sure I hadn't missed it. If I was like on my phone or something, I was like, "Where are the bees?" And I got
he
on the internet,
zoned out, thinking like, "No, I probably just missed the him screaming bees."
Not an actual scene in the movie.
Probably cut for good reason. You know, someone should be fired for that blunder. Great job. Mark, I'm going to give you 1 point.
Yes.
John, I'm going to give you 1.5. And Shannon, I'm going to give you 1.5 also.
Nope.
Good job. Good job taking these things to greater philosophical levels about our culture and and just the reality of, you know, nature versus versus mankind.
I think it was just a nice jumping off point here.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Mark's going to get his chance. He's getting like an extra 50 points for playing music, so he's automatically winning.
Yeah. I'm new here. I still have to figure out how to play to the crowd a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So, John, you're up next, 1 through 9.
I'll take the last one.
The last one. Great. John Paros, do you have a vague idea about the spaghetti tree hoax? I'll make a formatting note because we didn't say anything to you earlier, but you don't have to say whether you do or don't. Just talk about it. Just say whatever you want to say about it.
Oh, there's no like bidding.
We don't need to now because it's just, cool. We're just going to, you get to go first and then we'll go around and that's fine. Yeah.
Spaghetti tree hoax. No, in common fashion, I think I'll be passing. Sorry.
Okay. That's fine. Shannon, spaghetti tree hoax?
I remember this vaguely being something to do with a bunch of people putting wet spaghetti all over trees and trying to claim that spaghetti grew on trees. And there's pictures of spaghetti trees. And it's, you know, it's not the hard spaghetti. It's the floppy kind. And then they just covered branches in it. And there's just pictures of fields of spaghetti trees.
Yeah,
but I can't remember who did it or why.
That's great. That's a lot of correctness. Well done. Mark, any thoughts about the spaghetti tree hoax?
I'm learning about the spaghetti tree hoax as we speak here, and I have really nothing to contribute other than speculation about who may have done this. Like, what sort of person would be motivated to think that, to try to convince the world that spaghetti grows on trees? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. I don't know if we ever will.
Was it an ad campaign?
Is it pro spaghetti or is it anti spaghetti?
Oh, I think it's pro spaghetti. Yeah. I think this is sort of agnostic about spaghetti. Like, it is a hoax about spaghetti's existence, but not a judgment on it either direction.
Yeah.
The spaghetti tree hoax was a 3-minute long hoax report broadcast on April Fool's Day 1957 by the BBC on the current affairs program Panorama. It purported to show a family in southern Switzerland harvesting spaghetti from the family spaghetti tree. Now, at the time, spaghetti was relatively unknown in the United Kingdom, So many Britons were unaware that it was made from wheat flour and water, and a number of viewers afterward contacted the BBC for advice on growing their own spaghetti trees. Huh. So yeah, there you go. And CNN decades later called it the biggest hoax that a reputable news establishment ever pulled. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
That can't be.
That can't be true.
Yeah.
CNN was hoaxing about that being the biggest hoax. Right. Yeah, yeah. So there's like the hoax layers here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're
so meta.
Yeah.
Tell that to Jeffrey Epstein, right, guys? The internet's full of good stuff about the... Oh, God. Yeah, good job. Okay. You're all getting 0 points.
What?
Great work.
I knew it.
I know, but still, 0 points. Good work, everybody. Shannon, you get to pick the next topic.
I'll do number three.
Eight. Okay, number three. Do you have a vague idea about Anansi the spider?
Yes. Mostly, I remember him popping up in... Oh, I'm popping my peas. Sorry.
Yeah, pop those peas.
Popping up in the Neil Gaiman novel, American Gods. He was one of the characters. But because he was in that, because he is an actual mischief god. But I can't remember from what. Is he African? He's like an African mischief god that takes the form of a spider. And in American Gods, he tells a story about, I can't remember actually. Yeah, it's a really good story. It's right at the beginning. He's like one of the first ones that tells a story about like his homeland. And...
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's also a Neil Gaiman book called Anansi Boys that I think brings him back.
That's the sequel to American Gods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay. Mark, what do you know about Anansi the spider?
Well, when you first announced the question, I thought you said a Nazi spider. And I was like, is this some sort of Trump-supporting spider that's like walking around carrying a tiki torch? Like,
it's a black widow with a red swastika on its belly.
This is Weeping Web in the White House as we speak.
Ooh.
No, and I am a little ashamed to say that I've never read any Neil Gaiman.
Oh, yeah.
And it keeps getting recommended to me. And now I'm finally getting called out on my ignorance of those recommendations.
Yeah, get with it.
Yeah.
Be woke about Neil Gaiman.
Apparently. I'm a big fan of his wife, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I read her book, but I've never read any of his.
American Gods is an excellent book. I couldn't recommend it more. Yeah. It's well worth the read.
I think you should start with the Sandman series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you like graphic novels.
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
They're amazing and about to be turned into an HBO show.
Okay.
So you can just wait.
Yeah. Sweet. Work averted.
John, Anansi, the spider?
No, it was fascinating to listen into this one.
All right. All right. That's fair. Well, Shannon, I'm going to give you 3 points and no points for anybody else. That's rough. Mm-hmm. That's rough, guys. It's a bad little hole you're digging. All right. So, we've done 3 topics. So, would you like to play a song, Mark? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Let's go ahead and... John, would you pass your mic over to him to put on this other stand?
All right. So, well, a lot of the songs that I write are kind of about, like, death and stuff. And I'm not probably going to play any of those, unless you need, like, a real downer of a closer. But I've been working on this...
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Well, I've been working on this project that I'm tentatively titling 6 songs about capitalism on the ukulele.
Great.
Yeah, and I have like maybe 2.5 to 3 songs so far. So we'll see. But this is one of them. It's one that I hope will, like, once the record comes out, like, I hope that it will encourage you to buy it. It's called Buy My Record.
Great. Yeah. I like that. So. Okay.
When I woke up this morning, I was laying in my bed. I had an idea for a pretty good song just hanging around in my head. But I had to pack a lunch and I had to catch the bus, and my supervisor is a jerk. The song got lost cause I'm not my own boss and I don't get paid for that kind of work. But if you buy my record, I can quit one of my jobs. Spend a little more time working on these rhymes instead of hanging with the working slobs. Cause my daily grind's getting in the way of everything I have to say. So buy my record today. Last Friday evening, I had a gig at a brewery. playing cover songs for a couple of hours to make a little extra money. But my car broke down on the way back home, and I had to get it towed to the shop. The repair cost more than what they booked me for, and now my credit card's over the top. But if you buy my record, I can pay off some of my debts. Spend a little more cash in my equipment stash, or buy a second drink with no regrets. Cause I can't get ahead no matter how hard I try when my interest rates are so damn high. So buy my record tonight. I went to a fancy party down in Lodo the other night. My roommate's getting an MBA and he had an extra plus one invite. A guy in a tie came up to me and he said, "So what do you do?" I told him my name and I replied through my shame. I said, "I make less money than you. But if you buy my record, I can feel like a human being. Cause I only matter to the majority of you if I've got a steady income stream. And if I'm gonna make it in this world somehow, I gotta turn my art into a cash cow. So buy my record right now. Buy my record right now. Buy my record right now."
Woo!
Thanks. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks, that was great. Okay. Switch the mic back over.
I do want to say, in case anyone is listening and really wants to check out my music, that I perform as, and I'm listed on Spotify and all those things, as J Mark.
Oh yeah, so, that's okay. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. We'll do plugs at the end too, so sweet. you can hit it again, because I want to make sure everybody knows that for sure. That was beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
That was
awesome.
Great. That was great.
Yeah, I love the just like the narrative, and the lyrics get more and more clever throughout, which I enjoy those kinds of payoffs, right? Like yeah. that's what makes music really rewarding, is when it's like, hey, you took me on a journey, yeah. And it wasn't, you know, it was a good journey. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's rich, and I think the way that the ukulele plays into it is, it's like, seems like oddly appropriate.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to play. Like it tends to catch people off guard, especially like I'm like 6'5", so like I come on the stage and this ukulele looks even smaller than a normal ukulele does, and so like I have a few seconds where the audience is like trying to figure out what's going on, so I can like ideally I can grab their attention in that and then hold it like you know on a good day. But
no, that was mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely, yeah. that was great. And I think we're back to you to pick the next topic. Ooh, one okay. through seven.
Let's do two.
Number two. Well, do you have a vague idea, Mark, about Mischief Night?
Mischief Night. This is familiar. It is the... Is it the night before Halloween?
You are correct,
when,
yes.
When, like, all the kind of pranks and stuff, like egging houses and teepeeing teachers and...
I really like the idea of actually TPing teachers. Not their houses, just TP the teachers.
I guess that happens at school next year. Yeah. Yeah, and like throwing...
Why am I standing still for this? Why am I not moving?
I could
away?
Easily raise my arms and tear through this, but I can't.
Teachers are underpaid as it is. You don't want them to have to work harder to remove the toilet paper from themselves.
That's fair. Like, yeah, in fairness, like mm-hmm. a teacher might be like, "Hey, look, this really actually saves me having to buy toilet paper for the next 3 weeks." So, yeah, and that allows me to buy school supplies for you little rugrat, etc. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's all I have to say about Mischief Night, except for at one point when I was in high school, we got two full pickup trucks full of rotten pumpkins.
Oh, shit.
And dropped them on Ryan Klostra's front lawn along with a toilet that just happened to be on the curb in the neighborhood that we moved.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So you just lucked into a toilet. That's,
yeah, we just
that's
lucked
wild.
That was like the icing on the cake of rotten pumpkin yard.
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
John, Mischief Night, do you have anything you'd like to add or, you know?
No, I don't actually.
No? Mm-mm. Have you participated in any Mischief Nights? Have you done any mischief in your life, John?
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah? Give us an example. You don't have to incriminate yourself. I mean, I'm sure the statute of limitations has expired on anything that you would have done, but
you think so. I don't know. I like to play with like stage effects. Like at the old Wizard's Chest in Cherry Creek, they had a magic counter and they sold stuff like sonic powder, which is just like black powder.
Oh, yeah.
And powdered, you know, metals, magnesium, titanium, that type of thing for sparkle effects, things like that.
Pops and glows.
So I kind of traveled with like an ammo can full of stage effects.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, cool. And,
one time, we were making a bit of a display in one of these Washington Park alleys at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And who would have guessed somebody would have taken an interest in... And the bomb squad did end up coming to take away my my ammo can.
That's amazing.
Can I ask how old you were at this point?
It was last week.
15,
16,
maybe.
I mean, back then it would have been like, oh, cool, I got the bomb squad called on me, right? Like, I'm 15 and I was just goofing around. Like, you weren't doing anything evil.
Well, I was lucky. A few of us made away with it, but one of us wasn't so lucky and spent the night, you know.
Oh, no, detained?
Detained.
Mm. Oh, shit.
I know, so I felt pretty bad because I was probably causing the most trouble, but he kind of took the rap for it.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, luckily it was, I would say... You know, nothing really like adverse happened to him. I don't think he got a record or anything because of it, but we all kind of had to go down there and talk to the fire marshal or something like that, like the next day. And he was kind enough to give me the ammo can back, although he took everything that was inside of it.
Yeah. He was like, hey, we're going to play with this later ourselves, but I mean, they're probably going to use it for a training exercise or something more than likely. I mean, that's the sort of stuff that goes on, right?
We were the ones being trained.
Ah, oh no. Shannon, Mischief Night.
I think it's also called Devil's Night. And I think it started in the 70s in Detroit. And it became, or some not super urban, like not New York or Chicago, but like another big city, like a second tier big city. And I think it was... it wasn't just pranks when it first started. It was like hardcore, like breaking into cars and like riots and stuff like that when it first started.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely used to be vandalism.
Yeah,
as well.
It used to be.
Like,
it used
there
to be
was actually
rough.
Like destructive stuff,
as demonstrated in The Crow, because everything there happens on Devil's Night.
Oh, that's funny.
Yet
oh
another movie God. I've not seen this millennium.
You just weren't, you didn't have an ounce of goth in you growing up, did you? No Neil Gaiman, no The Crow.
No, I had a buddy who was a Smashing Pumpkins fan. That's about as close as it got.
That's not very close. Yeah. That's not very close.
That's like light gray. We're talking deep black gothness. Devil's Night is a name. Goosey Night, Moving Night, Cabbage Night, and Matt Night are also other euphemisms.
Cabbage Night.
It traditionally takes place on October 30th, you were correct. And it can also sometimes take place on November 4th or May 1st. Though the first Mischief Night recorded, the earliest reference was from 1790, when a headmaster encouraged a school play, which ended in an ode to fun, which praised children's tricks on Mischief Night in most approving terms. So in the UK, these pranks were carried out as part of May Day, but it really kind of caught on around the Halloween thing. And I guess, you know.
Is that the trick of the trick-or-treat?
I think the trick-or-treat thing is specifically on Halloween. It's you're giving the option. Like, you're supposed to show up saying, we're either going to egg your house or you give us candy. Right.
Yeah.
But I guess it was also, I don't know, like apparently we just need to live in a purge society where people just have like multiple nights a year where they just go fuck all and crush things so that we can keep everybody kind of in line. I don't know.
You're advocating for a purge society?
Well, no, but I'm saying it sure seems like we've got like the groundwork is there, right? Like you needed two consecutive nights at the end of October to like get all of your shit out.
Yeah.
And get rewarded with candy, which, I mean, come on.
Before the holiday season, though, you know, before you have to hang out with family for like 2 months straight, like, it's not a bad idea.
That's
to get
that's
it out
fair.
Of your system.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's why I thought of it as being more hardcore. Like Mischief Night or Devil's Night or whatever is when the adults go out and purge. And then the next night is Halloween where the little kids go out and they're like, candy or teepeeing. Like yeah. it's a little mm. more. It's
oh,
the
yeah. The kids are just doing.
It's
tricks.
The kids' version of the night before. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point. I think that's probably true. Hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Great job, everybody. I'm going to give Mark 3 points. I'm going to give John 3 points, and I'm going to give Shannon 2.5 points. John, you got a bump because you shared a very personal story that I now, like, I don't know. I admire you
the whole
even
world
more.
Can hold it against me now.
Yeah.
Well, and you escaped jail, so that's points.
Yeah. I would that's, I mean, that's really all we're all trying to do, right? That's what your song was about, basically.
Like, yeah, totally.
Buy my records.
Buy
so
my
records
so
jail.
I don't have to break into your car on October 30th.
I'm going to end up in debtor's prison if you don't. Yeah, excellent. John, are we back to you?
Yeah, I think I.
Yeah, you just what, picked, how many yeah. are there?
There are 6 left.
Yes.
Great. John, 1 through 6.
I'll take the last one.
The last one. Do you have a vague idea about PrankNet, also known as Prank University?
No.
Okay. Shannon? PrankNet?
I'm just going to guess that it's a website. Is it prank.net? Where you can learn about how to prank people and. You get a diploma at the end of your online studies.
I like that a lot. I mean, you're not incorrect. There is an online community, so that's a lot of it. Mark, anything?
A prank university.
Yeah.
Arizona State?
Zing, Arizona State.
No, I'm going to, I guess it sounds like PrankNet plus Prank University is something where there's maybe like how-to videos on like how to, you know, do all these sorts of pranks, or maybe it's some sort of Jackass-like thing where like people upload pranks that they've done to people. Some sort of pranking online community.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, online community is correct. You were both dead on with that. PrankNet, which is also known as Prank University, is an infamous Canadian-based anonymous prank calling virtual community. They're responsible for damage to hotels and fast food restaurants of more than $60,000,
oh my God,
as well as instances of telephone harassment.
Well, what kind of monetary damages can you incur via prank call?
I mean, I would think here. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, I'll get to it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was founded by a man who later referred to himself as Dex One by One. Alleged to be a Canadian man named Tariq Malik. I don't know, whatever. 60 separate incidents are tied to this group. So they would pose as authority figures like fire alarm company representatives and hotel front desk or corporate managers. And then they would get the employees to do shit to the places. So get them to like pull the fire alarm and flood the whole restaurant or whatever. There's how your damage comes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Kind of exciting, right? I just thought it was interesting because Canada. Like, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize there were punks in Canada.
You're supposed to be the nice guys.
I know. Yeah. Canada's supposed to be the one that's like, hey, let's not trash stuff.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like the grand spectrum of like socially maladaptive behavior though, like prank calls is pretty on the Canadian easy end of the spectrum.
Sure, yeah. Think. Yeah, because I could see them doing the, you know, Prince Albert in a can. Or asking if the refrigerator is running. Mm-hmm. Those things seem very quaintly Canadian still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, lovingly done. Yeah?
I call back 5 minutes later. Sorry.
Sorry. There's nothing wrong with your home or any of it. We apologize. Yeah, great job. Mark, 1 point. Shannon, 1 point. John, you passed. No points. And, hey, should we do another song?
Sure.
Great.
Do you want to hear a song about like giving up on things getting better, or do you want to hear a song making fun of Joe Biden?
Ooh, yeah, let's go with Joe Biden.
Okay.
No? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in.
Vote, yeah. Shannon.
No, okay, Biden works for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do Joe Biden. That sounds fun.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
John, can you do the pyrotechnics for this while he does the performance?
That'd be sweet. For the record, he's dropping pretzel sticks on the table.
If that salt hits each other fast enough, it will create light.
This is called The Ballad of Uncle Joe. Hey there, friend, you got an ear to lend? I'd like to say hello. I know you've seen me on your TV screen, but you can call me Uncle Joe. Now I bet the past few years have got you longing for the good old days. That kind of sounds like Make America Great Again. But anyways, hello. You know me. Oh, I forgot the words. This happens to me all the time. Hello. You know me. I'm the folksiest face of the aristocracy. And I'll fight like hell to restore the status quo. So come on, give an ear to Uncle Joe. Now I was born in a coal mine in the Pennsylvania hills, and I used to remember what it's like to struggle to pay the bills. But I've worked long and hard and white to get where I am today, and now I get $100,000 to talk to bankers. But anyway, hello. You know me. I'm exactly as rich as you aspire to be, but I won't get elected without your hard-earned dough. So come on, spare a dime for Uncle Joe. Well, most folks think I'm friendly. Most folks say I'm nice. And that includes segregationists. Heck, I've eulogized them twice. And I'm especially friendly to the ladies in my own way. I don't know if they like it or not, and I don't care. But anyway, hello. You know me. I'm happy to tolerate your white supremacy, and I'll only grab your women by the shoulders or the toes. So come on, give a hug to Uncle Joe. I've seen my share of tragedy, felt my share of pain. I love my family so darn much that I'll ride an Amtrak train. And I wouldn't wish upon any man the darkest of my days. If you want to know more what I'm talking about, you can buy my book. But anyways, hello. You know me. I'm extremely deserving of your sympathy. And if that fact matters more to you than everything else you know, then come on, give your vote to Uncle Joe. Come on, give your vote to Uncle Joe. Come on, give your vote to Uncle Joe.
Yeah, very nice.
Ballad of Uncle Joe.
I like that a lot. Well done.
Oh.
Oh, that's okay. That's a good noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a...
Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of in tune. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. Very good. Yes, yes. We all got into it. Yeah, great. Another excellent song. Thank you.
That was great. I was trying really hard not to laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Oh. You should have. That's, well, that's kind of like what I'm going for.
I didn't know if...
Yeah. It makes it sound... It's like the laugh track on the sitcom that makes it sound funnier than it actually is.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So maybe you can dub in a laugh track like...
Ooh, I bet I can find some free sound laugh tracks that I can just mix in some really campy...
No, you just loop that.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
The whole time.
Oh, man. That isn't terrifying at all. Yeah.
It's
so
mischievous.
Excellent. We are, Shannon, back to you. 1 through 5.
I'll take number one.
Number one, Shannon, it's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Ooh.
This time for Fuck, Marry, Kill. You're each going to get a chance at this. You have to decide between Loki, the Joker, and Ashton Kutcher. Who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? And who are you going to kill among those great pranksmen?
Okay, I'm going to fuck the Joker.
Okay.
But it's going to be the upcoming Joaquin Phoenix.
The Joaquin Phoenix Joker? Okay.
Can you specify the Joker? Is that allowed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. You're allowed to pick Joker. Yeah.
And I'm going to marry Loki.
Okay.
But it's going to be the Avengers.
Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, sure, sure. I mean, what other Loki would we really be talking about? Like, you'd have to be really thinking, like, oh, the Norse, the old Norse carving Loki that everybody's so familiar with.
So into him.
So wooden.
And I'm going to kill Ashton Kutcher.
Okay.
Because I actually hate pranks. And Punk'd bothered. There are a lot of peas in this show.
Yeah,
there are a lot. Of, yeah.
we're popping. Should've we're popping a bit.
Pop filter.
I hate pranks. I hate Jackass. I hate Punk'd. I hate all that kind of stuff. So
pretty much everything we're talking about in this show, you hate.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I like the idea of like a mischievous god, but when it's frat boys thinking it's funny to make you think that, you know, your mom is dead.
Yeah, or like,
like, screw that.
Stealing Frankie Muniz's car, which is the one thing from Punk'd I remember the most. It's like they took his car, like he bought a Lamborghini or some shit from with his Malcolm in the Middle money, which this goes back to the Joe song and the first song. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of pranks are also just lies. It'd be like, so my sister the other day, just kidding, I don't have a sister, prank. Like, that's not funny.
hey, I'm developing feelings for you. Joke's on you, I'm not. Like, oh cool, my heart's broken. Thanks.
Hey,
thanks.
I'm not developing feelings for you. Joke's on you, I am.
So yeah, Ashton's got to go.
Great. I'm into it. Excellent. Mark, who are you gonna fuck, who are you gonna marry, who are you gonna kill?
Probably completely different answer. I think I'm gonna fuck Loki.
Okay.
Just like, the trickster god is gonna be the best in the sack of the three, I would imagine.
That's fair. Yeah. Lots of secret moves.
Yeah, lots of secret moves.
Yeah, lots of wells to tap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna kill the Joker just because the Michael Keaton Batman Joker, who was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Yeah, creeped the hell out of me when I was like seven. This is another 90s movies flashback. So like, I would be happy to be rid of that trauma.
Your trauma is not unlike Bruce Wayne's.
It's true. Yeah.
So
I never thought of myself as like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think that's the big lesson of the episode, is that Mark Tevin is actually Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we have to delete this recording and kill everybody in the room.
Well, yeah.
That's just like how Batman works.
Yeah, it's totally. Yeah, and I think that just leaves Ashton Kutcher to marry.
Okay.
With maybe like a similar nostalgia vein, like that 70s show was a big thing, and I don't know, he's kind of like cute and harmless. I think it would be like a very good, at least like you know, what's the type of marriage, there's a term for this, like the type of marriage that is for appearances only,
he'd be like a trophy husband, but I'm trying to think of trophy,
like the one that's sort of the front that you put on like to society.
Like,
I think he would be a good front marriage.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'd be going to, I mean,
I'd be driving around in Frankie Munoz's Lamborghini for one, which would be sweet.
I mean, I assume he still gets invited to premieres and things and like and whatever else. Like,
so that'd be pretty cool.
Who's he married to now?
Mila Kunis.
Oh, that's right. Mm. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, there's a lot of value left in that Ashton Kutcher tank.
Yeah.
I'd like
and
to
you
think
probably
so.
Get to meet more and Bruce Willis.
Ooh,
yeah. Are they in good terms?
Yeah, they're all buds.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Probably sweet. Key parties, I assume, right?
Hey.
Bruce Willis charges $1 million a night, but otherwise. John, who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to kill?
I have no idea how to answer this question.
Are you? Well, I mean, it's three options.
Six different. I don't understand the question almost.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's just for funsies.
This doesn't tie you into any sort of...
No, I know. Yeah. I'm just trying to like they're fictional characters, right? Like,
well, Ashton Kutcher's real.
I could go anyway. But I mean, sure. He's as real as any, you know, TV personality.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
sure.
In my mind, like, he's just a character. Like, I don't
know.
Well,
I'm sure that in the way that we all wear masks when we engage with the public.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not engaged with his, like, his personality. Only
oh, sure,
his,
sure.
Like, you know, caricature or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know.
I mean, if you want to abstain from any of it, you can. That's fine.
I don't have anything like important to say about it.
No? All right. That's fine. You can hold out. Hold out for a better batch of people to fuck, marry, or kill. That's fine with me, John.
I've been holding out a long time, yeah.
All right.
Ashton Kutcher gets a promise ring at best. Yeah.
Here's an old hair tie, Ashton. This will mean something eventually. Mark, back to you. 1 through 4.
Let's do 1 again.
Number 1. Okay, Mark, it's time to play Shannon's favorite game. It's time to play Palm ou Pomme de Terre. Each week on Palm ou Pomme de Terre, I present an object, which is either an apple or a potato.
Yeah.
But you have to tell me if it's an apple or a potato.
Okay.
And this week, it's a piece of mail that I received.
I can't believe you guys are still playing this.
I can't
either.
This is
the one thing I remember from previous episodes.
I can't either.
So you have to tell me whether this Citibank credit card offer that I received in the mail is an apple or a potato.
Huh.
Palm ou Pomme de Terre.
Do I open it?
I mean, you can if you want.
It's going
that
to
would be mischievous
credit.
Of you to open somebody
be,
else's
very,
mail.
I'm
going to
not, although that apparently, like, and Nate, you're very well approved for pre-qualification. So I'll give you that. Like, 0% intro APR for 21 months is, like, pretty sweet.
That's pretty good. It's, like, almost having money.
Yeah. So in that sense, it's like an apple. So...
It's about having no money later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say apple because in a way this is sort of like the same thing that the snake convinced Adam and Eve to grab, because like this is a promise that will eventually lead you down the road of like eternal condemnation and mortality. So
wow. I like that
wow.
a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm going to say
well
apple.
Done. Good. Brilliant. Okay. Yeah. John, what do you think? Is that an apple or a potato? Do you agree?
Damn yeah, you. You stole my answer.
Yeah, did I really? Nice.
Yeah, I would call it a pomegranate, but...
Oh, okay. Because it's going to seed me with debt?
Well, that's the apple of the gods, right?
Oh, sure. So, okay, yeah. Okay.
So maybe a bit more climate appropriate to the Garden of Eden, too.
I buy that, yeah. That's a good point, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, a regular apple is kind of a cold weather thing, and it's a mid, like, it's a... equatorial paradise. Yeah.
Literally,
Shannon,
yes.
What do you think?
I'm going to say it's a potato because you're probably going to throw this in the garbage and it'll get planted in the ground in a landfill. Much like potatoes.
Like
are
a potato.
In the ground.
Very good. Okay, great. Yeah, excellent job. Everybody was perfectly correct, so you each get 5 points. Good work.
It was a high scoring round.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, yes.
And John, we're back to you. 1, 2, or 3?
Number 1 this time.
Number 1. Do you have a vague idea about Impractical Jokers? Impractical Jokers. It was a television program, I'll tell you that much. Impractical Jokers.
Sounds kind of familiar, but I can't really recall it.
All right. Shannon?
I don't remember that either. I'm guessing... It was a practical joke show.
Possibly of the type that you just expressed a revulsion for.
Yes.
Just moments
ago.
Great. Mark, anything?
A TV show that Shannon hates would theorize that it's some sort of joke show, but the twist is like the jokes actually don't work. It's like they put up some sort of barrier to themselves in the title of this show. Like, it's impractical to do these things.
Ooh,
so
I like that.
This
I wish
the
that's
yeah.
what it was.
It's a
I
prank
really
show
do.
Where none of the pranks work, so maybe you like it. And that would be kind of fun, too. Yeah, like, the jokers get joked upon.
Yeah, it's like it's like Mythbusters, except they just keep, like, injuring themselves along the way.
No one else gets hurt but the people who are trying to do the hurting in the first place.
Yeah.
I would like that.
Yeah. Very good.
But then, how would I know that I wasn't on the show being the person getting pranked for enjoying seeing the people getting
this
hurt?
This is super meta now. Yeah.
Is the prank that someone got hurt?
And the
prank is that you're seeing that someone
got
hurt?
The prank is that you're actually watching the show, and so the joke is on you as
God.
The audience member.
The advertisers are the pranksters.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're here. Yeah, Great job. Impractical Jokers is an American hidden camera reality series that premiered on True TV in December of 2011. It follows Joe Gatto, James Murr Murray, Brian Q. Quinn, and Salvatore Sal Vulcano, the four members of the comedy troupe The Tenderloins, as they coerce one another into doing public pranks while being filmed by hidden cameras. The show differs from other programs, focusing on witty humor as compared to slapstick or crude comedy. So it's a little more like an improv prank show.
The thinking
oh, that's
man's
my two
jet.
Favorite things.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing makes anybody more comfortable than watching people do improv when it's awkward.
The thinking man's jackass. Yes.
Thinkass. Or jackbrain.
I will say there is a prank show I enjoy that is a magician. And all of his pranks are magic tricks, and it's so cheesy. And in fact, it even looks like it was filmed in the 70s. Like, the colors aren't very bright, and I think it's on True TV.
That's See, that sounds good-natured and charming.
It's charming.
Nothing is very bright on True TV.
Because it would just be, like, him, like, pretending to be a Starbucks cashier and, like, keep handing people change, but he keeps disappearing every time he hands it to them. Like, that's adorable. I'm into that. If that's a show that isn't already, I mean, we should be on that show.
Yeah. I think we've pitched like half a dozen TV shows in this episode already.
I know, Disney, are you listening? Come on. Send us some money. Great job.
TV Network.
You all did excellent. You're getting 10 points each. Well done. And Shannon, we're to you. One or two?
I'll go with number two.
Number two. Shannon, do you have a vague idea about jackalopes?
Oh, yeah. This is an animal that looks like a jackrabbit and an antelope. Mm-hmm. It has the body of a jackrabbit and it has the antlers of the antelope. And I actually convinced somebody when I lived in Arizona last year that they were real.
That's hilarious.
Which was amazing.
You're such a prankster. That's some real Ashton Kutcher in your veins.
That was.
No, it was just a lie.
That was just a lie. Yeah, I was just lying to that guy. But yeah, I think it's kind of only known in the Southwest. I don't know that people on the East Coast really know about it, but it's kind of this running joke we have in this part of the country where we convince people that it's a real animal and it's not.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Mark, anything to add?
Well, that I feel like I knew or came to know of the jackalope because of like a reality TV series that Dave Coulier from Full House hosted once. Like Bob Saget was doing America's Funniest Home Videos, and then Dave Coulier was doing a show after it.
America's Slightly Less Funny Videos.
Yeah, and I believe that the jackalope may have been a recurring character on that show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I learned about the jackalope as a youth, and then I was on a road trip after I graduated from college with, like, it was my graduation present to myself, like 3 months around the country in a pickup truck with a camper on the back. And I remember stopping at Waldrug, South Dakota, and in the back of Waldrug they have this giant playground with all these crazy sculptures and whatnot, and there was a jackalope sculpture.
Yes.
And so I convinced some tourists to take a picture of me riding the jackalope. And so
nice.
That's somewhere. No. This is
in their camera?
They might have taken one of this. No, like this was a film camera, which maybe dates me a little bit. But yeah.
I had several film cameras in my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We I think we're all at the table of an age where we remember having to get film developed, having to find pornography in the woods. And also,
I skipped that age.
And also rewinding, movies that you rented from a store.
Wait, let's go. So woods, like paleo porn, like sort of like unprocessed, unfiltered, like non-consumer, or like free range, wild foraged pornography.
No, in the way that there were like. There was just like a Playboy in the woods that like other boys had left in like a hollow log, and you knew to go to this part of the woods to find the pornography. I don't know.
Huh.
It may be a little more anecdotal than true.
Like, that shared experience we all had where we went and found the porn in the hollowed out log.
great job. John? Jackalope?
I don't know. Shannon seems very convinced that it doesn't exist. I mean, what leads you to that opinion?
I don't know.
That's a good question, yeah.
I think that it. I mean, it probably
people,
doesn't exist.
Some people approach the world that way, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. The jackalope is a mythical animal of North American folklore, described as a jackrabbit with antelope horns. The word is a portmanteau of those two. Duh. And many jackalope are taxidermy mounts. My dad's friend Mike has a jackalope taxidermy mount that is in, I think he has one in both of his houses in Phoenix and the one that he has in the mountains here. And yeah, it's
what is,
a...
What is the plural of jackalope, jackalopes, or is it jackalope, like deer and deer? Or
jackalese?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would have. I think it would just have to be jackalope, right? Because you would say a herd of antelope. You wouldn't say a herd of antelopes.
True.
Yeah, so I second that.
That's where I would go with it. But I guess it could also be Jack's elope, too.
Mm. Mm.
You know, because you can pluralize the jacking part. I don't know. That isn't. I wasn't even implying.
We're back to the woods right now. Yeah.
So much jackalope porn in the woods, people. In the 1930s, Douglas Herrick and his brother, they were both hunters with taxidermy skills, popularized the American jackalope by grafting deer antlers onto a jackrabbit carcass and selling the combination at a local hotel in Douglas, Wyoming. The early days of capitalism when you could just slap a couple animals together and make a living.
It's not any different today.
Yeah.
It's fair. It's fair.
It's just like that except with code now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Twitter is just a jackrabbit and an antelope put together. Yeah. Thereafter, they made and sold many similar jackalopes in a retail outlet in South Dakota, and other taxidermists continue to do this well into the 21st century. It is kind of a American West mythological thing. Yeah, folklorists see jackalopes as one of a group of fabled creatures common to American culture since colonial days that appear in tall tales about hodags, giant turtles, Bigfoot, and many other mysterious beasts in novels like Moby Dick. I'll just share this because the Wikipedia page lists the grouping as mythological hybrids, which I think is just hilarious that's a grouping on Wikipedia. The subgrouping is fearsome critter.
I think I saw mythological hybrids open up for Fearsome Critter at Riot Fest once. It was like a really good show.
They were great until they got all the synth mixed in there and they lost it.
The first two albums are gold.
Yeah. A similar creature is something called a Wolpertinger, which is, it appears to be a rabbit with similar antelope horns and then maybe like pheasant wings. So that's interesting. Yeah, and that's a German folklore creature. So, hey, look at us. Way to go.
Yeah.
All right. Great job. Shannon, you're gonna get 3 points. And Mark and John are going to get 2 points each. And who's next? It's you.
Is there only one left?
There's only one left, so it's to you, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah. I guess I'll take number one.
Would you like to take number one?
Yeah.
You can take the last one if you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the numbers, and then there's another one after?
Well, no, there's just...
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just being a jackass. I'm just being a jackalope.
You're just pranking him.
I got punked.
I'm pranking him. This whole episode has been an elaborate game to set up that joke.
Yeah.
Woo, so glad we came.
Worth it.
We're going to play another mini game called Goofus and Gallant. So for Goofus and Gallant, you're going to... basically say what Goofus does that's shitty and what Gallant does that's better, as evidenced in the Highlights magazine. So what prank does Goofus pull, and how does Gallant make that prank better and nicer? This is kind of a great one for Shannon, because...
I'm a little confused on the on background here.
Oh, like, sure. Yeah,
Goofus and Gallant...
Did you ever see Highlights magazine when you were a kid?
Probably, but it's not like...
I mean, you were in a pediatrician's office at some point. It was near you. So Goofus and Gallant was... it might still exist. I'm sure it does. It's a thing about... Goofus is this kid who always does something wrong, right?
Mm.
Goofus runs with scissors. Gallant carefully holds the scissors and puts them away before running to play.
Okay.
That's basically the format.
Gotcha.
So you're tasked with saying... what prank is Goofus pulling, and how is Gallant doing it in a better and nicer way?
Wow. Let's see. I think that, there's been so many pranks talked about in this episode, and those are sort of all floating around in the back of my head. There's a lot. I would say that Goofus fills the family room with donut holes.
Okay.
and Gallant invites everyone from the neighborhood over to eat them together with tea.
Aw, that's excellent. Aww. Well done. Yeah, that's such a Gallant thing to do, too. He's definitely pulling in the families that are of meager means and saying, hey, you guys need a breakfast brunch? Let's have some tea and donut holes. John, what prank is Goofus pulling and what's Gallant doing to make it better?
Instead of letting all the air out of your tires, Goofus takes the valve cores out.
Oh, shit. Goofus is an asshole. Okay. So what's Gallant going to do about that?
Gallant swings by with some sealant and a compressor.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's totally Gallant. Gallant is like rolling with all of these things. Yeah. He has like a trailer, a little bike trailer, and he's just full of love. Shannon, what's Goofus doing?
Goofus is leading the country into ruin by pretending to be a man who wants to make America great again.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a really outlandish one, but I'll go with you on this journey. Sure. I'm into it.
I don't know how Gallant's going to stop it.
We are all Gallants in this metaphor.
We are all Gallants.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Mark, I'm going to give you 4 points. John, 4 points. Shannon, 5 points, because basically you laid out Joe Biden's candidacy. Great. So that's all of our topics. So I will add up the scores. If you guys want to talk amongst yourselves for a moment,
should we do another song?
Yeah, we could do that too. Why don't we do another song while I add up the scores? Okay. Does that work?
Do you have another one?
I do. It's all like depressing songs from this point on.
But let's do it.
Hey, that's
hold on. Okay. Those were the not depressing ones.
Well, those are the lighthearted ones. So you brought up Moby Dick earlier, and I had my first EP released earlier this year, and the songs on that are based off of themes on Moby Dick. That's kind of what like some of my songwriting comes from, which is just sort of circumstantial, and then it like kept going.
Oh yeah, very cool.
Yeah, this one is a Moby Dick song. It's not on the EP. There's a scene in Moby Dick where how many people have read Moby Dick in the room?
Haven't read it all the way through. No, I know that. Call Me Ishmael happens.
Yep,
he talks about whales a lot.
I know that there's a lot of psychosexual obsession and lost manhood and crap like that.
So you've
going
got the
on.
Basic
Lots of
thrust.
Themes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And there's a scene where there's a scene where Queequeg, the cannibal, thinks he's going to die. He gets a bad fever, and so he has a coffin built for him on the ship. And he doesn't actually die. Well, not from that.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, Queequeg dead. Yeah. Hashtag dead Queequeg.
Rest in peace. Anyway, this song is about that. It's called Coffin. It's about giving up on getting better.
Wow. Okay. Let's do it.
You weren't kidding.
Make my bed and make it hard. Measure every inch and yard. Build it up on every side till it's high enough for me to hide. Build it with the plans I've laid. Build it with the mistakes I've made. Build it with everything I lack. Build it with all my looking back. This is all I'll ever be. There is no recovery. It's just my coffin and me in the sea. So bring me up and lay me down, and lay my failures all around. Close me up and lock the lid nothing else is getting in. I'm tired of the fits and starts. I'm tired of the broken hearts. I'm tired of making a mess. I'm tired of my high tenderness. This is all I'll ever be. There is no recovery. It's just my coffin and me and the sea. You drown. I can take care of myself, and I don't need your fucking help. This is all I'll ever be. There is no recovery. It's just my coffin and me. And the sea. And the sea.
Wow, well done. Thanks. That was really good.
That was, really good.
This is where you buzz in the laugh track.
Right.
Yeah.
We get it. It's a metaphor for Joe Biden again. No, that was great. That was really just beautiful.
Thank you.
And I love that you gave us context on kind of where it came from, but it also just it has kind of a completely applicable universality to it that I think is really, really good.
Thanks.
So well done.
Look for Moby Dick, the full-length album, next year.
That's going to be, 570 songs?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Just 560 of them will just be like whale facts.
Yeah.
Rhythm.
Yeah. I will buy that.
Yeah.
And the sound of a submarine pinging.
There you go. Wow. Yeah. Great job. So I've got the scores finalized. So Mark, with your plus 10 music bonus, because you came on and played some music for us, you have won the game with 39.5 points.
Thank you.
Shannon in second place with 36, and John 25.5. A good showing for passing as much as you did and do. So that's great.
I respect myself.
Well done. So Mark, what would you like to plug? You've won. Congratulations, and thank you for being
on
the show.
No, thank you for having me here, and thank you for letting me play this ukulele on your show too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't listened to every episode, but I imagine this is the first episode where someone's played a ukulele song about Moby Dick on it.
Oh yes,
you would think.
Yes.
Like top three maybe.
Yeah. Last week, three Moby Dick ukulele songs, but
well, you know,
but yours was the best.
Yeah, so I'm going to be playing Moby Dick Ukulele Fest next week. It's going to be great. My music is released under the name J Mark, and you can find most of these songs in one form or another on Spotify, on Bandcamp, all of your other services, even Amazon. If you are into Jeff Bezos and giving him money.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of inevitable in some ways, but yes,
yeah. And you can find me on the Facebook with the same name. I'm on Instagram as J Mark Tebbin. I have a website that is probably 6 months like old in terms of like what's on there and posted. But that's J Mark.
That's the way my website is for my own writing too. So
Now is it J space Mark?
J period space M A R K.
apparently there is a J mark with a dollar sign at the end.
Yeah, I know, and I really want to meet him.
That's not you.
That's not me.
I mean, it doesn't look like you.
Yeah.
Your music does scream dollar sign in the name totally, for stylization yeah. purposes. Oh man, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really excellent.
Thanks. And, so this is yeah. a lot of fun, and I learned a lot too.
Well, hey, yeah. Great. And I think we would love to have you back on. So you know, I'll get in touch with you. We'll get you back on. You awesome. Play more music. Maybe you do a Duran Duran cover this next time. We'll see
yeah,
what happens.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, here mm-hmm. we go.
Hadaway.
There we go. Hadaway. Yes. Hadaway. Ooh, yes. Yeah, because we'll all watch. We were talking off mic before we started about seeing Night at the Roxbury, the film. And yeah,
so go watch it. We'll reconvene. And
so yeah,
we'll
do
an
episode
on.
We can do a Night at the Roxbury episode. You can cover Hadaway three times.
Yes,
and we will find out if anybody has a vague idea what is love. John, do you have anything to plug? Welcome back.
Oh, thanks. It was fun today.
Yeah, I'm glad. Hey, I'm glad it was. It worked on worked with your schedule and everything. It's good to have you back on. So yeah. Do you have anything to plug, John?
Yeah, I think all you progressive people need to be riding your bikes.
Okay.
I think consuming fossil fuels is exactly what that other party wants you to do and benefits from.
I think that's a fair point. Very, very good. Yes. Great. Okay. Shannon, anything you'd like to plug?
No, I'm good.
No? All right. That hey, that works. Well, yeah, thank you all for listening to the program. Thank you guys for being here. It's always fun. We get to do this every week. It's a blast. And yeah, thank you guys for listening. I don't know. This has been a vague idea. Please follow us on Instagram at A Vague Idea Podcast. And you can still check out the Twitter. I'm kind of still posting, even though I said I wouldn't last week. So that's at A Vague Idea Pod. So if any of you want to be the 16th Twitter follower, hey, you can get on there right now. You can get in those double digit Twitter follows where you really feel special about yourself. Otherwise, live your life, but try not to make the world worse. Okay. Thanks guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Gronkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.